Christ. And he went to one house, and it's a remarkable story. One house, it was a tent. He went to this one tent, and as he always does, he walks into the tent and goes in there. And immediately when he walked into this tent, he came in and he said, "Look, I've come. My name is Daniel, and I've come to tell you about Jesus Christ." And immediately the people in that tent, the father went almost crazy. He's talking, his arms run all over the place, he's talking whatever. All of the family are all talking, all babbling. Some of them have just gone a deathly white, and they're all talking, and he obviously doesn't speak the language, so he says to his interpreter, "What's happening? What's going on? What are they all talking about? What's all this commotion about?" And then finally, when they got them calm enough to be able to understand and explain what was happening, they said that the day before, that the family were there, just in the tent, and this white man, all white, came into their tent, stood before them, and he said, "My name is Jesus, and tomorrow I will send a man named Daniel who will come and tell you about me." And so the next day, this guy walks into their tent and says, hi, I'm Daniel." And now, amazing that God is doing that. They obviously all gave their heart to Jesus Christ. You'll be amazed at the number of Muslims at the moment across this world that are coming to Christianity, because the Lord himself, even when there's not someone who can go talk to them, the Lord himself, even fighters that are out on the field, people are coming to know Jesus Christ. They're having incredible dreams. They're having visitations, people turning to Christ. There's a wonderful book called Dreams and Visions, Is Jesus Awakening the Muslim World? And that book is just about 1,000+ stories of people of Muslims, where Jesus is revealing himself, appearing to them in a dream or in a vision, and they're turning to Christ. Jesus is drawing people unto himself. It's quite amazing. And I'm reading a report the other day. Indonesia, our closest neighbour, our closest Muslim neighbour, the most populous Muslim nation, 30% now are born-again Christians. Now, you won't hear that from the official press, but I saw this news report. The churches there are exploding. An incredible revival is happening in Indonesia. There was one pastor that they were interviewing. He had 400 in his church. And it's repeated right across Indonesia. Now he's got 6,000-7,000 in his church. And it's happened almost overnight. They've been praying for revival. You know, it's not an easy environment for them to live in. But there's just an explosion of Christianity across the face of the earth. And I'm just so encouraged by that, to see that Jesus is actually drawing people to himself at this time. We saw with the disciples, where they were feeling defeated, lost and defeated. Jesus, who was the Messiah, and they'd been crucified, and it was like there was no hope. They'd run and scattered like little sheep running around and scattered. And, you know, there's only couple that there, John there and Mary and a few of the Marys that were there looking at Jesus on the cross, a lot of them just hiding. And then they were together, this sorry, defeated bunch. But then Jesus himself appears in the middle of them and reveals himself. And they suddenly, the penny drops. Ah, he actually meant it when he said he was going to come again. He's going to die and come back again. And it changed everything. Jesus is drawing himself to people across this earth now in an unprecedented way. And the Lord wants us to understand that, but he also wants us to be a part of that, what he is doing at this time. Let's have a look at this verse in John chapter 3. I'm going to read John 3:16. It's one of the verses, but it's the couple of verses before that I really want to talk about this morning. But John, I'm going to start in verse 3. Now, we know this passage is Jesus. He's with the Pharisees and he's talking to Nicodemus. He's actually one of the teachers. He's the one who knows all the stuff. He knows the law, as every good Jewish boy does. He knows the law, but he studied it, and he's an expert. He's a teacher in the law. And he comes to Jesus and asks him about, well, what do I have to do? Jesus says in verse 3, he says, "Verily I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." Now, Nicodemus, he's an intelligent man, so I actually think he was being a little bit of a smart aleck, actually, because he says, "What? A man can, you know, go back into his mother's stomach again and into her belly again? Was that what's going to happen?" And then Jesus explains to him and says, "Hang on, look, you know, you're supposed to be a teacher." This is obviously talking about being born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit, that gives, you know, this flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. And he's explaining it's actually a spiritual birth that you need to have, that you need to be born again. And so he explains that to Nicodemus, and then it runs into this passage down from verse 13. And this is Jesus talking. He says, "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who has come from heaven, the Son of Man," himself, Jesus. We know that Jesus was seated at the right hand. He has all power and authority, and yet he humbled himself. He came down. God came down in flesh, and he walked among us. He lived among us, and he lived a sinless life. And he was now talking at this stage with Nicodemus, his disciples, and the others, the Pharisees, others that are there. It says, "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." Now, just as Moses, that's what I'm talking about, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And then immediately goes into that passage that we all know so very well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now we know that, and that's the wonder of Easter, that God's loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross in our place. That's the thing that should blow all of our minds away. It should be the thing that we're just in awe of, that Jesus died for you on the cross. He gave everything. God loved us so much that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Eternal life is a really long time. And not to accept Christ is to not to know that eternal life with him. But he talks about this snake. He says, "No one has ever gone in heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up a snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man might be lifted up." Now, I'm not going to read that passage, but you can find that in Numbers chapter 21. Is the passage. And basically what the story that Jesus is referring to here is we have the children of Israel. Now, the children of Israel have come out. They've been wandering through the desert. And as they were accustomed to do, they were complaining and whinging about everything. And so they're complaining to Moses about, you know, look, it was good back in Egypt. You know, we had nice beds there. And the food, they're complaining about the food. Like the food, you know, we don't even like this food compared to what we had. And so they're whinging about that. And God gets a little bit sick of them complaining and whinging about, you know, he's delivered them out of bondage. He's taking them into the promised land. And in the transition from the bondage moving into this place of the promised land, they have a good old whinge. And so God sends the serpents, snakes. Snakes come, and the snakes come around the people. The snakes slithering around. I don't know, have any of you seen that movie, Snakes on a Plane? Yeah, well, some people are scared of planes and they're scared of crashing. Well, put snakes on a plane. That's a double combination. I think that was the idea of the movie. But snakes come. Now, I don't particularly like snakes, to be honest, but I've only ever come across a couple. And I yelled out because there was a snake in our backyard and the neighbour came and dispatched it pretty quickly. Another time I was just on the path and I took a very broad path because I'm not really good friends with snakes. But these were venomous snakes, and they moved around the children of Israel, and they were biting them. People were dying, and a whole plague of snakes slithering coming at them. I know you've seen all those movies with all those snakes. It's horrible. Anyway, these people are dying from that. And then the people cry out, and they say, "Look, we've sinned. We're blown it. We've sinned against God. You know, we've complained, and we're complaining against God. We're blowing it. Lord, Moses, help us, ask us for forgiveness for us, do something, because we've sinned and we've totally blown it." The people realize that they're whinging and complaining against God. And so Moses instructs them to make a snake. They get a snake, a bronze snake. So they cast this bronze snake and they get this snake and it gets stuck up on a pole. And Moses says, whoever looks at that snake, if you get bitten, you look at the snake, the venom won't hurt you. You'll be okay. And so they do that. They get this snake up on a pole and they plant it in the ground, and anyone who's getting bitten by a snake, all they had to do was just turn their head and look at this snake, and the poison wouldn't harm them. They were okay from that. And that's exactly what happened. And so people weren't affected. If you didn't look at the snake, that poison would kill you. But if you turned and had a look at that bronze snake that was made, then that venom wouldn't kill you. Now, the sad thing out of that is that some of the people then decided, oh, this is a pretty cool snake. And we read that Hezekiah actually, the people started giving offerings to this snake. As some of the Israelites started doing that. And when Hezekiah comes king, one of the first things Hezekiah does is he gets that snake and he grinds it into the dust because people are worshipping that instead of God. And unfortunately, we see that. We see Jesus today, that the people make statues of Jesus. They're worshipping a statue and they forget to worship our Lord and Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it was sad that that actually happened. But Jesus refers to this passage because it's an unusual thing, isn't it? I mean, God could have done anything. Why did he do that? And it was a snake. I mean, why did he do that, that people had to look at that? Well, obviously it was a snake that was causing that problem, and the Lord did that in that way. But really what the Lord was saying is this was really like a type of Christ. He was saying that even as that snake was lifted up, the Son of Man himself, the one who come down from heaven, he must be lifted up. And that's exactly what Good Friday is about. It's about Jesus being lifted up on the cross. Jesus was lifted up on the cross. And he said Jesus is saying that. He's saying this is exactly what must happen. So the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And so that snake that was in the wilderness, that anyone who looked at that then the venom that was in them that was going to kill them, it was rendered powerless on their lives. But they had to look at that. They could just not look and keep going about it, ignore that snake, and that venom would eventually take its course and eventually kill them. And the same thing is with the cross of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ has been lifted up on the cross. And really, that's every person really needs to confront Christ on the cross. That's what Easter is about and so powerful about. Because if we look to Christ on the cross, if we look to the sacrifice that he made, that he died in our place for our sin, that his blood that he shed would wash away the sin and therefore destroy every barrier between us and God, that the love of God could flow freely upon our lives, then we can save. But we have to turn and look on Jesus, because every one of us who doesn't know Christ, we have the venom of sin in our life. We have the sting of sin in our life, which ultimately leads to death. And that's upon our lives. And Jesus is saying, look, you look to me. Look to me, even as they look to that snake and the poison, the venom wouldn't hurt him. You look to Christ and the venom of sin will not kill you. It won't harm you, won't touch you. I will actually render that impotent, the power that it has over your life. I will cut that off. And so Jesus is talking about that. We need to look to Jesus. We need to look at him and we need to see him on the cross, crucified, dying on the cross in our place for our sin. That's what Good Friday is about. It's so important because you can't really talk about Good Friday without talking about Easter Sunday. And you can't really talk about Easter Sunday without talking about Good Friday. Those two things are married together. There's no resurrection without death, and there's pointless death without the resurrection. They both go and flow together. And so Jesus was lifted up in that way, that we've got to look to him. We can live our lives oblivious. And the children of Israel who decided, well, I'm not going to look at some stupid snake on a pole, and got bitten, then that would have, the venom would have taken its course on their life. Many of them, in fact, died. And that's why it's so important that the cross of Jesus Christ is lifted up, that we present Christ crucified, that people know that Jesus Christ died on the cross in their place, that they can turn. But it's interesting, the word that Jesus uses here. And he actually uses his other word a little bit later on, which is the same word. It's a beautiful language what they're speaking in the Greek. Each word has a lot of meaning, and there's many different words they can use the same thing. Now we can do that here in English for those of us who speak English well, which is most of us, that we can get a synonym, a word that's similar to that, slightly different emphasis and meaning. And Jesus chose a particular word when he talked about the Son of Man being lifted up. And that word is actually an ambiguous word. It's a word that has two meanings. It actually has two applications, that word. And Jesus chose that word very particularly, very, very carefully. And later on, in as we'll read in John 12, again, he uses the same word. He could choose a different word. He chose that word, which has got a double meaning, because exactly that's what Jesus intended to be said. Let's have a look at this other passage in John 12, and let's just talk about that for a moment. John chapter 12. Verses 31 to 33. Now this is Jesus who's already raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus came, raises Lazarus from the dead. He goes, he withdraws a little bit, spends some time Then he comes back. He comes back, goes to Bethany, goes there. That's when Mary breaks that really expensive jar, which gets Judas very upset because he was the money keeper, and he thought, what a waste of money, because it used to go in his pocket. One for you, one for me, was little Judas's motto. And he gets upset that Jesus gets anointed by Mary with this very expensive perfume, which, like, anointing him for burial. And that's what Jesus says. He said, look, she's anointed me for burial, because Jesus knew he was going to die on the cross. So we've had that there. We've had Jesus do the triumphant entry into Jerusalem when people had come up for the feast of the Passover, and all the people had gathered and they cut down the palm branches and they're all singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and all the cities are rejoicing. The same ones who turned around and would kill him just a few days later. But that we had all of those things happening leading up to this passage. And then as a part of that, there's some Greeks that have come into town, and they're a part of all the celebrations, part of the festivities. And so they come along and they speak to Andrew. Philip speaks to Andrew. They both go there and they go to Jesus and they begin talking to them. Now there's a crowd there, because it tells us a little bit later there's a crowd. So he's talking. This is what Jesus has said when they just wanted to see him. And verse 31, he says, now is the time for the judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. It's the devil. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. But he says there that when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Now again, and John says, yeah, well, he said that to let us know the type of death he's going to die. And certainly he was, that he was going to be lifted up from the earth. But the cross itself, it was not a nice sight, not a pleasant sight. People would just turn their head. If they see a stranger or anyone, you wouldn't want to see someone hanging on a cross. And the cross itself is such a confronting thing. The fact that Jesus died in such a painful way, such a hideous, horrible death, is a confronting thing for all of us. And to think that he did that for us. And Jesus being lifted up on the cross is a confronting thing. We've got to acknowledge that. We've got to receive that. We've got to take it, or otherwise the venom of sin ultimately will destroy us. It will ultimately kill our lives. But again, when Jesus is talking about being lifted up from the earth, he uses that word that has a double meaning. And yes, Jesus is saying, when I'm lifted up. So he's down, they nailed his hands in. He's nailed down just through the wrists, and his feet nailed one right through the middle. And they certainly lifted him up from the earth. But the cross was a confronting thing. It wasn't so much a drawing thing. Unless we acknowledge the cross, we can't come into relationship with our Father. But the ambiguity of the word, the double meaning of the word that Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, it means when I am exalted. When I am exalted. See, Jesus wasn't just speaking about his death. He knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to die a painful death. Jesus was also speaking about his resurrection. Jesus knew that he would be risen again from the dead. Before that passage, there's this little interlude where he says, well, what shall I do? What shall I say? Father, take this away from me. He said, no, for this very reason is why I've come. He knew he was going to die on the cross, but he also knew that he was going to be risen from the dead. But he laid his life down. It wasn't taken from him. He laid it aside for us, for our benefit. But Jesus was speaking here also of his resurrection. And the main thing I want us to get this morning is that, yes, we have the cross of Christ and Jesus being lifted up. But the drawing unto him really comes from the fact that he is the risen Christ. The fact that he died on the cross is an undisputed historical fact. The fact that he is risen from the dead, there's more evidence of the existence of that than even Julius Caesar even existed, that Jesus Christ, and the man of witness, historical evidence that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. I haven't seen that movie Risen, but some of you would have seen that, about they're doing their little, Jerusalem CSI about trying to find this body, because there wasn't a body. Jesus rose again from the dead. And so Jesus has risen from the dead, and there's a drawing that comes under him. And I want us to understand, I believe the Lord wants us to understand that right now, that God is drawing people to himself. Jesus is drawing people to himself in an unprecedented way. There is a drawing that is happening. Because Jesus Christ, he died on the cross, yes. but he also rose again from the dead. And it says, when I am lifted up, when Jesus was risen from the dead, we know he appeared for 40 days. He appeared, many accounts of Jesus' appearance. And then finally we had on the Mount of Ascension where Jesus gets up and then he ascends to the Father in heaven. And they see that and they're rejoicing of that. And he says, I'm going to come back. Jesus says, I am coming back, and Jesus will come back. And we look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is exalted now. He is lifted up. He's at the right hand of the Father. And he is in a high position, and he is drawing men unto himself in an unprecedented way. That there's so many stories of people that are just getting drawn into God's kingdom. And I believe maybe even today, if you've come here today, you're not in close relationship with Jesus Christ, he will be drawing you to him. He's drawing. We already said how in the Muslim world, how Jesus is just drawing people that maybe they don't have the opportunity for someone to preach the gospel, someone to tell them about the things of God. But there is a drawing unto Jesus Christ. And I believe God wants us to understand that, but also be a part of that, about lifting Jesus up. Now, he ascended to the Father, and he's seated at the right hand of God, the scripture tells us. But we also have a role in lifting Jesus up. How do we lift Jesus up? Well, one of the ways that we lift Jesus up is that when we come together and when we're here as the people of God, we praise and we worship him with everything that we have. We lift our hands before him. We lift our heart before him. We lift our voice and we honor him and we lift him up and we exalt him. And don't underestimate the drawing that there is when that happens. When you come here for someone who doesn't know Jesus and they come into such an atmosphere, come into such a place and see people that are full on for God and lifting up and exalting the name of Jesus Christ. Don't underestimate it, the drawing that there is for people, even people that may be here today. You felt this drawing and tugging in your heart. You don't understand it, don't know exactly what it is. It's Jesus. He's drawing you to himself because he wants you to have the promise of eternal life. He wants you to live with him forever. There's that drawing of the Spirit of God, and he wants us to be a part of it. We also have a part to play in lifting up the name of Jesus Christ by our witness, by your lifestyle, and by the way that we live. Do we live a life that exalts and lift up Jesus Christ? Are people drawn to Jesus because of you, because of your life? When they look at you, when they see your heart, when they see the way you respond to crises, when they see how you handle the pressure, when they see when the stuff of life hits you, is there a lifting of Christ and a drawing? There's that challenge for every one of us that Christ is revealed for us, that we're lifting up Christ, that people might be drawn under him. But it's something that we have a part in. But God is doing something sovereign in this. I really believe it's a sovereign thing that God is doing. He's working in partnership with us. But there is a drawing under Christ right across the face of this earth in countries where there's just horrendous persecution. And there's so much persecution that goes on of Christians in this world. But even among the very ones that are doing the persecuting, God is just turning them around. What ones that would be... You know, same as the Apostle Paul was one that would imprison, he would be one that would torture and one that even be killed. Jesus revealed himself to Paul and he suddenly turned around and he became a follower of Jesus Christ and a writer of the majority of the New Testament that we have. And he's doing that right across this earth. Tormentors, captors, that Christ is revealing himself too. People are getting drawn into the kingdom of God, and God wants us to be a part of that and to know that he's doing that. Do that through your worship when we gather together. Do that through your lifestyle. Do that through your witness. Lift up Jesus Christ. We think sometimes it's so hard for people to come to Jesus. It's not hard. There's a drawing. He's already drawing them to himself. He says, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. And the resurrected Savior, the one who's conquered sin and conquered death, he's drawing people to himself. It's not that hard. It really isn't that hard. He's doing the drawing unto him. He said that. He promised that. And he is certainly doing that. And we want to be a part of that and work with him in that to see people come to know Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. He's drawing people to himself. Let's have a look at this passage in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. Let's just read this. It'll be our last passage for this morning. Talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, so Philippians 2, 6, who being in very nature God, he was God. He was God coming down in flesh. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God with something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, God becoming flesh and coming and walking among us, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The most hideous, painful way of dying. What was that? That's where the word agony comes from. Agony is a new word they had to make up, or excruciating, excruciate, agony derivative, but to be excruciating pain, excruciate, excruciate is X from the cross. It's a pain that is so high. So to be excruciating agony, excruciating pain, such a death that he suffered. And being found in human likeness, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him. God lifted him up. God lifted him up to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. Jesus has been lifted up. He has been exalted to the highest place. The one who came and made himself nothing, who died a hideous death on the cross for us. He was lifted up on the cross, yes, but he's also lifted up. He is exalted and reigns and rules in Jesus, and reigns. And we lift up Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And there's a victory, a wonderful victory in that. But there's a drawing. And I just pray for every one of us, wherever you are out in your relationship with God. If you don't know Jesus, then this day the Lord will know that he's drawing you to know him. Drawing you and saying, come and know. Let what I did on the cross, let it count for you. Let it matter. He died for all humanity. But the same as the people had to look at that snake or else the venom would kill them, the same way we have to turn our head and look to Christ crucified, who died on the cross in our place for our sin. We need to acknowledge Jesus. We need to receive him, that what he did on the cross counts for us. We need that to happen in our lives. But also then to see Jesus, the risen Christ, who defeated death, who burst out of that tomb, who conquered every work of sin and darkness, defeating every work of the devil, the one who reigns and rules, and the one who's lifted up. And he's drawing us. Whatever your relationship with God is this day, I believe the Lord wants you to come closer to him. He's saying, look, I'm drawing you. There's a drawing. Draw closer to me. The Lord is drawing. He's inviting us. He's drawing us to him. Say, come into a closer relationship with me. If you don't know him, then he's drawing you that you might come to know him. But if you do know him, then what's our heart like? And I believe the Lord is just drawing us closer and closer to him. Let's stand to our feet. I want to pray for us. God is doing something quite unique across this world. There's more Muslims that have been saved in the last 10 years than in the last 400 years. People are coming to Christ. People from all religions are coming to Christ. Buddhists are coming to Christ. Atheists are coming to Christ. People from all backgrounds, every walk of life, are coming to Christ. He's drawing people to himself. Let's be a part of that. Let's lift up Jesus Christ. In our worship, let's magnify him. In our lives, let's lift him up and see people drawn to Jesus Christ. But yourself, respond to him, because even this day he wants to draw you closer to him this day. I'm going to pray for us now. And if you don't know Jesus Christ and you want to give your life to Christ this day, this is the day to do it. Just come, and we'd love to pray with you. If you have a prayer need today, we'd love to pray with you. But let's just bow our heads as we pray together. Father, we just lift you up this day. Lord, this is a day, Lord, where the world acknowledges that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Well, not everybody wants to look at that. Some people want to leave their heads in indifference. But Lord, we stand this day, Lord, and we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Savior who died on the cross, Lord, but also rose again on that third day. And Lord, that you have been lifted up and exalted to the highest place. And Lord, even this day, Lord, I really believe that you're drawing people to you. There's a drawing, there's something of the Spirit of God that is drawing people under Jesus. Father, if there's anyone here this day who doesn't know you, let them be drawn unto you, Lord, because, Lord, that's what you said you'd do, and you're already doing that, Father. For those who don't know you, Lord, give them the courage to come and say, yes, this day I want Jesus in my life. I need what he did on the cross to count for me. I don't want to live like this anymore. I want Jesus in my life. And, Father, for those of us who know you, Father, let there just be a drawing into a closer walk with you, a closer intimacy with you. Lord, you're just drawing us to yourself. Lord, I just sense that by your Spirit even now. You're drawing us, Lord. Let us not be ones that are indifferent. But Lord, let us have our eyes gaze fully upon Jesus Christ and be drawn closely into you this day. Father, I pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. We're going to sing this together.